Welcome to Episode Party, a podcast about podcasts. I'm Freddie Harrison.
I'm Jack Tutor.
And we are joined today by our special guest, our friend, Mr. Nick Summers. Nick, hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Yeah, good. You are so much more enthusiastic than us two, and I love that. That is what we pay you for.
I'll be the bouncy one for the next half an hour.
Great. Yeah. That's what we need. This is a brand new podcast, and so far, as far as the plan goes, we've got Let's Talk About the Podcast That We Like, which seems to sum it up very well. So we kind of in advance have talked about the podcast that we're going to talk about in the episode, but I don't know, have you guys listened to my one?
Yes. Yeah, numerous episodes.
Amazing. Nick?
If I said yes, I would be lying.
That's fine. You're just going to have to blag your way through the conversation about it, but I think you can do it, Nick.
No. I'll be the layman's person. I'm the one that wants to ask questions about it.
Fine. Let's do that.
I like it.
Which is funny because, and we'll get to this and it'll become clear to everyone who's listening later, but I feel like there's some similarities between your two podcasts and mine's vastly different, at least in terms of format, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd agree with that. I like your podcast, Freds. I think it's excellent.
Yeah. So the podcast that I'd like to introduce to the world in this episode is The Inquiry, which is a sort of BBC World Service podcast. I think it's on the BBC World Service, but they also release it as a podcast, as they tend to do with a lot of their shows. And the reason I like it is because I've been trying to find more podcasts that deal with current affairs lately. And I guess the biggest problem I have, and I don't know if you guys agree with me, is that when you're trying to find podcasts that deal with current affairs, there's a lot to do with America-centric current affairs and less to do with the UK.
Yeah.
Would you say that's a fair interpretation?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly for me, like I've always looked for politics podcasts as well, just because it's something that I want to learn more about and sort of improve my knowledge of. And yeah, it's really hard to find stuff, A, because there aren't that many of them, but also that are at my sort of knowledge level, where I want them to be informative, but also not super technical, you know.
Well, Nick, have I got a podcast for you? So the idea of The Inquiry is, although I say this, I tee up this whole UK America centric nonsense, and The Inquiry's a bit of as you know, the World Service element of it would suggest, is deals with a lot of kind of worldwide issues, but it does focus on some UK stuff as well, which I think is really cool. But The Inquiry's really nice in that it's, I'd say, like almost like a slow journalism approach to big kind of world issues right now. And basically every episode focuses on a different issue. And it might not be specifically about a news story that's happened recently, but it might be of an issue that's around that news story that's happened recently. And the format is that they have kind of four experts on it. So they call them expert witnesses or something like that. And each of these people have a kind of different perspective, or kind of provide a different kind of piece to the puzzle of the issue that they're talking about. So there's kind of a lot of different issues covered, but they are cool, kind of all current affairs-ish. And the episode that I recommended, and would recommend if you want to get a good feel for this podcast, is the one called How Do You Launch a Nuclear Missile? And obviously they kind of tied that in with the kind of beginning of Donald Trump's presidency, and the fact that it's kind of scary that this guy's got the nuclear codes and the football. And it talks about the processes that different countries have to go through and different nations have to go through to launch their own nuclear arsenal. And it's really, really interesting. And yeah, I found listening to the different approaches very, very interesting. And I think there's a little bit of a curveball in there. Jack, what did you think of it?
I really like it. And I think this one was a really good example for how the podcast works, because they have those expert witnesses. And so you have like a 5 minute dive into a particular perspective, and then it pulls out, and then you go somewhere else, and then it you know, it does that a couple more times, and it's enough that you don't get too far into the weeds with one particular perspective. And as you say, it's like a slow journalism approach in that there's a more sort of bird's eye view, analytical perspective of the issue. And because as well, like you know, I'm a big fan of political podcasts, and a lot of them that I do listen to are America centric as well, but a lot of those tend to be, you know, long form interviews of about 2 hours with one particular person, which is great and is, you know, one particular way of approaching a particular topic. But what's really refreshing is to have 25 minutes that just gives you a sort of surface level view of various different ways of thinking and approaching and interacting with a subject. And you kind of come away from it feeling like you've got a real sort of thorough walkthrough of a particular issue. I mean, another one that I liked is there's a couple, actually. I've been diving deep into them today. So there was one they released a few days back about why we always look at our phones, which is wicked. Did you listen to that one?
I started listening to it this morning. I haven't got all the way through it yet, but was very interesting.
Yeah, it's great because it's something that I think about more and more is the amount that my thumb is just darting over my phone screen, and I sort of catch myself doing it halfway through and I'm like, oh, I'm doing it again. And listening to something like that, and it kind of dissects the psychology behind why we do that, and relationship between you know, phone notifications and gambling, and the fact that you get that variable payoff you know, when you go to interact with your phone, whether or not you got an email and whether it's good news or bad news or whatever. But it's just you know, that's another really interesting one. And what's cool about that is that one is, you know, you go from nuclear missiles down to like just mobile phone interaction. And so there's a real nice sweep of issues that it's dealing with. So, yeah, I thought it was super tidy. And also, like a lot of BBC podcasts, it's just really nicely produced. Like the witnesses are actually super relevant and really interesting, which isn't always the case with podcasts, that the people they bring on to talk to are actually incredibly relevant and actually articulate and you know, actually have something interesting to say. I've listened to some podcasts where, you know, they bring someone on who's maybe appropriate for the subject, but just the point doesn't come through, you know, it's not conveyed in an accessible way. But yeah, I loved this podcast, and I continue to love this podcast.
In regards to the storytelling, is it set up like we're now going to go and talk to so-and-so who's based in the Amazon rainforest, and then there's sort of like an implied sort of travel there, almost sort of like Radiolab does? Or is it very much more of the traditional sort of news style? You will tell the story, and then we'll go across to you know, an expert who can give such a greater depth of, you know, an explanation for any particular topic. How exactly is it kind of set up in regards to the storytelling?
So it's interesting because if anything, that the way that they structure this is actually the one thing that I maybe don't like as much.
Oh, really?
Although I love the podcast overall, but I find, so you've got these four witnesses, and they're very much compartmentalized, which is great because I think they all have their very different views and opinions, and actually it's quite nice not to have like a debate between them. You know, if you put them all in the same room, you'd get a very different perspective from what you get from hearing from each of them individually. But I don't know if I feel that it's like, I'd prefer a smoother transition. So basically at the beginning of each of the parts of the episode with each of the different people, you get a voiceover that says part one or part two, part three, part four, and they kind of introduce them and then they go into their things. But I don't know if they, I kind of want like, I don't know, I kind of don't want the part one, two, three, four
no,
bit in there.
I know. Okay, so I'm just going to disagree outright with Fred's.
Go on.
what I like about it, Nick, is the fact that it's almost like a dossier that you've picked up. and is comprised of these interviews from different people about the subject. It's almost like a research package. So there is those jump cuts between each person. And what I like about that is the clean break. You sort of zoom out from the topic. You're given like an in-depth view from one perspective, and then you leave, and then you enter from a completely different point. So there's no like threading them together in an awkward way where it's like one person is made to feel as though they're in communication with another person's point of view. It's just you come in from a completely different place, and I think that's what I really like, and especially because so many podcasts are in that Radio Lab-y style where they're threaded into these like stories, and there's, you know, segues which make everything lovely and smooth and pretty cinematic and dramatic and whatnot. But this one, it's pretty cold, the structure of it, but I actually like that, and I think it does increase the focus on the content itself rather than just a story.
The way you just said dossier, in my head I had this image of an envelope being slid across the table with confidential written on it and just some tapes inside for all the different interviewees. And I'm like, oh man, I'm finding something out which I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's called The Inquiry. I mean, it can feel more like that in many senses. I think you've nailed it, Nick. I see your point. I see your point. I'm with you. I was thinking when you were chatting earlier that the one thing that I like really, really like, beyond the fact that it doesn't just focus on US-centric issues, is the fact that it has a sense of calm and it's, you know, not kind of doused in hyperbole, as quite a lot of current affairs and politics and news-based podcasts are, especially at the moment. And I guess there's some kind of element of, well, that's to be expected with the kind of year that 2016 was, because some pretty earth-shattering things happened. Hyperbole there. But it's nice to have like a podcast that just presents issues and presents sometimes solutions and sometimes different perspectives in a way that's not horribly panic-inducing, I guess.
Yeah, there's what I find interesting is that usually these podcasts set a question at the start, and then you get to the end of 45, 50 minutes of trawling through the evidence, and then there's a voiceover that goes, in conclusion, we don't know the answer to this, and you do that over and over again, and you're like, what, you know, we haven't got anywhere. But actually, what I think is quite interesting, and especially for the BBC, is often they get to the end of the episode, and then they go, so here's your answer. And you're kind of like, oh, wow. You know, usually everything's neatly balanced to the point where everybody wins. But it's kind of nice. You come out and they tie in a knot and they say, so, you know, if you did kind of just zone out for 20 minutes, here's what you could have picked up. And it just summarizes it into like, you know, 20 seconds of at the end. They just give you a little, okay, here's the takeaway. And that's nice.
Nick, can I recommend an episode that you shouldn't listen to?
Yes, you may.
Don't listen to the one that's called What Would No Deal Mean for Brexit Britain? Because it does present an answer, and it's not an answer anyone wants to hear, and it will make you want to leave the country. So just don't do it.
I was hoping you were going to say the episode you shouldn't listen to is How to Launch a Nuclear Missile, just because you don't want me to do so.
Well, I mean, I don't want you to do that, but I think we'll be all right. I think there's a lot of checks and balances in place in most cases, apart from maybe in the US, which is probably the most worrying places for there not to be any checks and balances in place. But did you not find, Jack, that China was a bit of a curveball in that? I don't want to give it away because I want people to go away and listen to this, but China's a real curveball in this, isn't it?
It is. And then at the end, it starts to curve back the other way. But, yeah, there's a period where you're like, yeah, you think it's going to go one way. And, yeah, a curveball is the exact phrase, Freddie. I'm rambling, but, yeah, it's a curveball. Also, there's a good dry cleaning story in there, which is, like, brushed over, but it's really funny.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. So if you're listening to this and you're super intrigued by the dry cleaning story or the China curveball, you need to go and check out The Inquiry by the BBC World Service. And I think that neatly wraps up my recommendation for this episode. Nick Summers, you're up. Tell us about the podcast that you recommended to us.
So my pick for this week is 8-4 Play, which is 8-4 play. So I listen to a whole range of podcasts, ones which are highly scripted, ones which are story-based, ones which are interview-based. And this podcast is like none of those. It's very informal, very rough cut. It's just a group of guys and girls sat around just chatting for really up to like an hour, if not more. And I've fallen in love with this podcast over many years, and it's all about a very small company based in Tokyo which translate video games for a living. So if anyone knows me, I'm obsessed with video games, and I'm also obsessed with Japanese culture, anime, manga, music, drama, all that sort of stuff. And so this is like the perfect Venn diagram for me of things that I like in the world. And what I like in particular about it is, yes, like many other video game podcasts, they'll just chat about what they're playing, what's coming out, the news, you know, what people are talking about right now, all of that kind of thing. But really, that is secondary to me. What I love the most about this podcast is how they just talk about Japan and their lives in Japan. So to sort of set the stage a little bit, most of the people in this company used to be video game journalists who were based out in America, clearly, like me, were interested in Japanese culture, learnt the language, and ended up, when they left sort of the press, they decided to move to Japan and set up this company. And so what I love about it is that it's the perspective of this group of people of moving to Japan and learning to create new lives in Tokyo. So I've been, as I say, I've been following this podcast for sort of many years. And what's great is that at the very beginning, the host, whose name is Mark McDonald, he will sort of go around the table and he'll give everyone a nickname. So for you, Freddie, it could be, you know, on my left is Freddie Two Left Feet Harrison. And it's then up to you to sort of guess why I've given you that nickname, right?
Right.
And it's almost always because of some anecdote or some story that's been going around the office about what's been happening to you recently, you know, something memorable or something that you're having trouble with or whatever.
Yeah.
And they always produce, for me, these fascinating anecdotes about life in Japan, which I just never knew about before. Or if I had any familiarity with it, it was only, you know, just a tiny nugget or a hint of it, or maybe I'd heard it just in passing from someone chatting. But they'll go into it in depth, and clearly because they live there, you know, they're super knowledgeable about this kind of stuff, and they have a much better understanding of the kind of cultural zeitgeist, because most of them have lived there now, as I say, over many years, and so they know the score, like they know what the traditions are and the social expectations and all this kind of stuff. And so yeah, so for the first like 20 minutes, half an hour almost, they'll often just ramble about what's been going on, and it's so interesting, just because as an outsider, as I say, it's just things that I've never known about.
Yeah, sure. I really enjoyed it. And it feels like a little bit like it could be your future, Nick. That's what it feels like. There's a lot of parallels there.
A little bit. I feel like I should give one example just so that you have an idea of sort of what I'm talking about. So the most recent episode came out around Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
And so one of the first things they asked was, you know, what was everyone's experience like for Valentine's Day? And again, this is something that I didn't know about. In Japan, Valentine's Day is very different to how it is here in the West. Mm-hmm. So in Japan, it's tradition for women to give gifts to men, but not the other way around. So traditionally on Valentine's Day, men will receive chocolate and cards and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, that's really weird. Like, why is there no obligation on the man to reciprocate, you know, or to give anything to their sort of, to their Valentine? And that's because a month later, Japan has its own celebration. I'm pretty sure it's restricted to just Japan anyway, called White Day. And this is, I say, it's exactly 30 days later. And when that rolls around, it is for the men in order to reciprocate. And traditionally, White Day is much bigger, much grander, and it's much more like the Valentine's Day that we know. So the big question was, especially for a couple of the team who's moved over recently from the West to Japan, it was like, what did you do on Valentine's Day then? Did you not give chocolate or anything to your girlfriends? Did you ever have conversations about that? Did you feel there was an obligation to do so? What was it like going in all the stores and sort of seeing the sort of decorations that were up? And, you know, basically, did you buck Japan's trends and stick with what you know from the West? Or have you already started adhering to Japan's social norms, you know? Hmm. And there was this really interesting discussion about how, yeah, some of them that had moved over with their partners, you know, had sort of had conversations about what are they going to expect from one another and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And one of them has a long distance relationship, like her boyfriend is still based out in the States. And so he was asking, like, can I send something to the office, or is that like going to be weird on Valentine's Day and like all of this kind of thing? And it was just one of many examples where they talk about, you know, how life is different over there compared to what we're used to, and how they're adapting to it, you know, and what's sort of taking them by surprise.
Sure.
So, yeah, that stuff to me is like absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it because the episode that you recommended to us was the Mario Run episode, which was just before Christmas. I think it was the 23rd of December. And like the kind of little offshoot discussion at the beginning was how finding good Mexican food in Japan, which I found really interesting. Not because I probably ever find myself in Japan wanting Mexican food, but just because it's super interesting to find out about these things. And I now know where to get good Mexican food in Japan. So that was always a good start. I think I have to admit that I did get a little bit lost during some of the more in-depth game stuff. But I think you've picked up on a really interesting point, which is that actually one of the more, like the most kind of interesting parts of the conversation is the bits about their lives and not necessarily about the work that they're doing or the games that they're playing. Although I did find the Mario Run stuff kind of interesting as well. Jack, what did you think?
Yeah, much like Freddy 2 feet Harrison. 2 left feet Harrison.
I mean, I've always had two.
You have two perfectly fine feet. I'm not sure why that came to mind as my first nickname for you, but, you know, it was literally as a hypothetical example.
Freddy 2 exquisite feet Harrison. Yeah. I agree in that I got so lost. In the best way, though, because I felt like there was just a bunch of people having a chat about their lives and kind of forgetting that the microphone was there. And I guess by extension, kind of forgetting that, you know, this is a medium that goes out to anyone and everyone. And I think what that can sometimes result in podcasts is a sort of universal, you know, let's package this up in a way that everyone can understand. Let's not make it too alienating, blah, blah, blah. And I think what was really nice and what I can say from the perspective of someone who is undoubtedly an outsider is it's just really interesting to hear people just chatting about, you know, what they love. And yeah, I thought the Japan bit was really interesting because it was also from the perspective of people who've clearly been in Japan a while but are still kind of fascinated with the cultural contrast to the extent that they still talk about it like it's a kind of a new thing that they're adapting to. So there's a way in there that you know, you can, that is, it's not like they just take it as a given now. So that's quite interesting. Yeah, the game stuff, like they get so deep into talking about, I mean, they use phrases that I was just like, I have no idea what that is. And it's clearly like, I mean, there's some things that they said, and I had vague memories of maybe reading it in like Nintendo magazines when I used to buy them when I was like 13 or whatever. And actually, it did make me want to play games again because I heard people talking just completely unreservedly about how much they like games and just letting loose about it. I thought it was really interesting. And I'll be honest, it's not one that I'm going to return to often because I can't spend large swathes of my day just completely, it would be like listening to French podcasts you know, for my week. I just, with little snatches of English in there that I can understand, it's just, but I really enjoyed the experience. And by the end of it, I'd felt pretty cozy with you know, the people presenting, the people talking, again, didn't know what they were saying, but they seem like really friendly, lovely people. And, you know, that was nice to listen to. There's not many podcasts that completely remove the formality of sitting behind microphones, you know, so, yeah.
And I think, yeah, Jack, you've got a good point there. I think we're all sitting in different rooms in different parts of the country or countries right now, in front of microphones, realizing how horribly awkward it is to chat to a microphone without seeing the people in front of you. So, you know, but even with those people in front of you, it's still weird when you've got a microphone in front of you and you know it's being recorded and played out to other people in the form of a podcast. So I think the fact that they can kind of drop those pretenses and kind of just talk and chat about their lives is really interesting. Also for the fact that they work together. So it's not like they haven't spoke for weeks on end. You know, it's not like... It's not like they won't have like maybe discussed some of the things that they're discussing on the podcast. So I found that really interesting. I also just realized, Nick, that so normally it looks like they play music from video games in the show at the beginning and at the end. Because I've just been looking through their blog, which has all the listings of the episode. Is that right? Because obviously during the Mario Run one, they were playing like... they played like Christmas Times in the Hollies by Run DMC and stuff like that, which is just, it really confused me. I was like, what am I listening to? But I've only just realized, and I didn't realize that they put the music credits for the previous episode in the next episode's blog post. So that's just explained itself to me. But it makes sense that they'd normally play video game music.
Yeah, often it's related to the game they're going to be talking about on the show, just as a way to sort of bookend it on the sort of the start and the end. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the guy that edits it will often throw in some sort of like funny throwaway tracks in there. And especially at the end too, at the very, very end, if you hold on, quite often he'll put a clip on there, which might be from a Japanese TV show or radio or an advert or something, right? Which is usually really funny. And it's just something that they've clearly just come across, or it's online or whatever, you know, which they've sort of added in as a little Easter egg, which is a really nice touch. I was going to say, like, right off the top, like, this is definitely, as you guys say, it's a podcast about games for people that are interested in games, first and foremost, which I love because, you know, I listen to a whole range of podcasts, and some of them I want to be about topics that either I don't have a lot of knowledge in, or I want to be surprised by, or stories that I might not have even heard of before. And I want to be challenged that way. You know, I want to sort of broaden my horizons. But this show in particular, the reason why it's so special to me is because it appeals to such a niche, and it's such a niche that I love. To see someone go into that depth and for such a period of time, it's kind of why I've fallen in love with it, and fallen in love with it over such a long period of time, because that's really the value that I've gained out of it, is listening to these people, you know, every 2 weeks, because it is a fortnightly show. You really follow along and you really feel like you sort of know these people, you know. One of the things that I think is really appealing about podcasts is that you feel like you're in on the conversation. Like, although you can't contribute, it's like you're there in the room after a while. And if you hear the same people over and over again, eventually you end up, you know, you said coziness, Jack, and like it definitely does become like that when you're a regular listener of a show. And so to hear people, like, I know, you know, a guy called JJ on the show has just bought a house, or just bought a plot of land rather, and he is building his own house right now. So what's interesting is every couple of weeks is that usually there is like there's all these mentions about what he's trying to do and the problems he's having with planning permission and how difficult it is for, like, you know, what sometimes parts of Japan society might see as like an outsider trying to find his space, you know, creating his home. And so to follow along and to know that, oh, they've just hired Roy and Roy's just come over from the US and he's learning to set up his bank account. And then you find out how absolutely crazy it is apparently to just to get a bank account set up over there, or to get a Visa card and all this kind of stuff, is super interesting. And so you follow along and you start to learn more about where these people are in their lives, you know, if they've just started having kids and what's that like for them. That for me is the sort of the accumulative value that I get out of listening to this show, because you learn more and more about what they're up to, and you get a much better sense of the things that they've accomplished, you know, when they start bringing them up in conversation.
Yeah, it sounds like a lunch break or something where they're just talking about their lives, And, you know, as you say, the kind of thing where it's about getting a mortgage or getting a credit card, you know, it's the kind of thing that in a lot of other podcasts would be like, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to say that on the radio. You know, we'll talk about whatever the subject is. But it's so nice that it's so loosey-goosey. And I get the impression they have a vague structure of what they're going to talk about. But other than that, you know, it spills freely over the lines in a really nice way. And actually, I wanted to ask you, Nick, so it's called 8-4 Play, which you have mentioned is named after a Super Mario Brothers level.
I sound like an old guy.
One of the levels in the games. Why is that one special? Why have they picked that one out?
Oh man, I should know this. It is based on World 8 Level 4, which is a classic stage from the Mario games. It's actually been so long since I played them though, I can't tell you why that is, but it is a known level. So that number 8-4, it might sound like completely crazy, like why have they just picked two random numbers for the name of their company? But within the gaming zeitgeist, it does hold significance. So it is important.
It's a classic.
Yeah. And just like, you know, the one other thing that I want to touch on really quickly,
sure.
The last thing really about this show is that it's also really interesting to hear about. They only touch on it occasionally. It's not the main thrust of the show, mostly because when they're working on projects, it's under embargoes, you know, under NDAs, like they can't actually talk about it until the game comes out. Mm-hmm. But they talk occasionally about their jobs as translators. And it's just something that you don't often hear about in the press or in the media. And that as well, if you're into that kind of thing, is super fascinating because it's about how do you... They call it localization rather than translation, which means adapting art for a different country.
Yeah.
So that can be Japanese games for the Western audience or it can be vice versa. Like they translate US games for Japan too. And it's all the things that you might not have thought of as being problems specific to games, and how do you change dialogue, how do you change location names in a way that is going to make sense to the intended audience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the ones that are a very simple one is, you know, in a dialogue, if someone's character is based around them making puns a lot of the time, you know, sort of wordplay or whatever, immediately that doesn't work in another language because rhyming doesn't translate to, you know,
sure.
immediately into Japanese words, you know. I can think of one character off the top of my head who's supposed to be like a teddy bear come to life. And so every 5 seconds he makes a pun which says, I don't know, that's very interesting or that's really unbear or rather than unfair sort of thing. and so if you translated that directly into Japanese straight away, it just wouldn't work, you know.
Right.
And likewise, if there's things related to very specific Japanese sort of objects, for instance, like one I think of is they were talking to someone and it was a murder mystery game, and one of the ways that someone had died was using a kotatsu, which is in Japan it's the table which they have sort of on the ground where they often will have, you know, their main meals or whatever, and there's often like a cloth draped over it, so you sit down like you'll be kneeling as you have your meal. And it's heated as well. So especially in the winter time, it basically forms like a radiator as well as a table. And I forget exactly how this person had sort of met his grisly end, but it was using this table. This table was involved somehow. And so clearly for the West, like in Japan, it makes perfect sense. Everyone knows what it is and how it might have happened. But for the West, like immediately that's like, you know, how do you explain this object, which most people would never have come across, you know?
Yeah.
Sure.
And so they talk about, you know, going back to the developer and saying, well, we think it should be, this is the nearest point of reference that we could give somebody, or we want to change the name of a particular place because people won't know what Odaiba is or why that is significant, you know, for story. We might give it an entirely new name or whatever. And so hearing them go to talk about that, about some of those challenges, again, it's just really interesting if games are your thing, obviously, and you want to find out more about the industry and how these things are made. Again, that's just like another facet of the show whereby hearing these people that know each other so well talk about their lives and their work is just, yeah, it's super interesting as someone that's, you know, just a casual fan of the medium.
So two things on that. Firstly, this reminds me quite a lot of, I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, it's a video that Vox put out about Harry Potter and how much that is a nightmare for people who do translation and localization, because there are so many words that are made up. And how do you translate or localize made up words? It's really, really difficult. And so many are based on puns and stuff like that, like Diagon Alley and things like that. So if you haven't seen it, it's worth watching. That was that. But also, going back to 8-4 Play a Second and the Mario Run episode, the bit that really caught my ear, rather my eye, was the bit at the end, near the end, where they were talking about that mad mobile game where you're a person yeah. that falls in love with a horse that has a human face.
Yeah, there are certainly some weird games that are very popular. I don't know if you guys have heard of Hatterful Boyfriend as well.
No.
Which is literally, this is blown up online. You should need to Google it. It's right. about dating pigeons.
Pigeons that date each other, or about a human dating a pigeon. I can't believe I have to even ask that question.
Yeah, you as the player are dating pigeons. And right. this is a really in-depth storyline about, it can be high school drama. I haven't played it, I must say, but this is everything that I've heard and read and seen online. Yeah, I'm just going to put it out there and just say that.
Did you just say high school drama?
Yeah. You can go to school and you're going to be meeting dated pigeons that are fully fleshed out characters, except they are pigeons.
I feel like the people who made that mobile game about falling in love with the horse with the human face, like, saw Hatterful Boyfriend and were like, right, we got to one up this.
Yeah,
right. There are games can be about literally anything, both in terms of gameplay and subject matter. So, yeah, just gonna leave that there.
Brilliant. Jack, can you tell us about your podcast that you're recommending?
Well, I was about to tell you about a podcast that I consider to be verging on the absurd, but considering we've just segued out of a pigeon love themed high school drama, yeah, this is going to be super real world. But it's a podcast called Athletico Mints, and it's presented by Bob Mortimer from Shooting Stars and Vic and Bob fame, and Andy Dawson, who's involved in the Twitter feed Get in the Sea. He's the chap who I think does a lot to do with that. And it's technically speaking a football podcast, but it only promises 8% of football content every week. And essentially, it's a comedy podcast, obviously, because Bob Mortimer's involved. But it just is very difficult to describe. I mean, I've been struggling to find a funny podcast and a comedy podcast, and I don't know what your guys' experience with comedy podcast. I've found a handful that actually appeal to my sensibilities, and there's a lot, if you search in the comedy category on a podcasting app, which are people talking loudly over each other and saying things right. that seem very funny to them and not to me. Is that, I mean, do you guys, is that your experience, or is that just me having a crap sense of humour?
No, I must admit, I'm usually in the same boat whereby I don't know how to describe what I find funny, but it is a subset of, you know, everything that's out there, comedies. You know, you don't find everything funny, right? And so, yeah, like, I don't just want to go trawling through so many shows hoping to find something that just happens to tickle my funny bone, you know? So comedy is one of the things, I must say, that I've actually steered away from or haven't really delved into in podcasting. One of the few things I haven't got in my sort of subscriptions at the moment.
Yeah,
I honestly haven't ever really sought out much comedy in podcast form, mainly because I'm a boring individual. But I guess the closest that I got was my dad wrote a porno, which was I don't know if that's intentionally comedy, but it is comedy. I suppose they were being intentional at being comedy. I don't think the source material was intentionally comedy, but it's comedy in a different way to Atletico Mints, for example, where the whole everything that's said is in some way designed or, you know, thought to be funny.
Yeah.
Whereas My Dad Wrote a Poem is more kind of coincidental or incidental comedy, I guess. So I have a bit of confession, Jack, which is that with Atletico Mints, I remembered that I needed to listen to Nick's podcast before we did the show, and then forgot about Atletico Mints until this afternoon. So I listened to about, I don't know, 15 minutes or something like that of
which episode did you listen to?
Which one did I listen to? Oh gosh. Hang on. Where is it going to tell me? Bear with me. All right. While you're doing that,
because the reason I think it makes a difference what one you listen to, because the evolution of the podcast has been ridiculous. I mean, one of my pet hates in life is when people say to me, you should watch this TV show, but the first 8 hours are hard work, but then it gets good. And I'm like, that's a day. I can't spend a day trudging through something that's given me absolutely no reward. But I mean, the thing with that I love about Atletico Mints is, I found it funny to begin with, but hearing the podcast and each of the segments unravel to the point where they are now is just such a joy to behold. And in a way, I'm kind of glad you didn't check out too much of it, because I think it's something that if you just went in cold at like episode 35, I mean, not that it makes that much more sense to me, but there's a linear development of some sort that, you know, goes from... So the early episodes were, you know, silly things about football, like what footballer would look best in denim, or, you know, which footballers look like they were born to be farmers or train drivers or whatever. But
I think these are all very important topics to be discussed, if I'm honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? It's good to have some of those lifelong questions answered for me. But it's just now got to a point where it's about Steve McLaren, and his pet snake that throws up all the time, or, you know, Robson Green trying to meet Rafael Benitez and forming a relationship with Mark Lawrenson. And it's all things that, I mean, I like to think that you'd have to have some kind of basis in football. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of football. I vaguely know who these people are. But then again, you know, Steve McLaren in this podcast is a carpet salesman, so it's not like it has any basis in any, you know, anything to do with football anyway. But
So they've created their own lore, is what you're saying. They've managed to create their own ongoing fiction for what are real people, what are real footballers and managers. But from what you're saying, it sounds like they've managed to develop this storyline where it gets increasingly more fantastical.
Yeah, that's it. And to be honest, it started out, Bob Mortimer talk about meeting a footballer, and within 2 minutes, to begin with, you'd be like, oh, that's interesting. Within 2 minutes, you'd realise he hadn't met a footballer at all. It was just a load of rubbish, because the footballer would be, it just wouldn't make any sense. But like, yeah, it's just got to a point of absurdity now. But I mean, I've got my dad into it, which is amazing. Right. I mean, I spoke to him about it maybe at the beginning of the week, say about three months back, and by the end of the week he'd listened to like all 30 episodes. I mean, he has long commutes like me, but he'd gone deep into it, and I think reacted to it the same way that I do. But
it kind of reminds me of like listening to or chatting to like a toddler, where they start off telling you what you perceive to be a true story, and it gradually gets more and more fictitious as they chat, and you realize they've just made the entire thing up. and that's what this podcast feels a little bit like to me. It sounds like a conversation between two toddlers, perhaps with a more expanded vocabulary.
Yeah.
Especially the bit in... So I listened to The Alderman and the Apricot. That's the episode that I listened to.
It's one of my favorites. And
there's a bit when they start talking about having a really stinky piss. I'm in the office and I'm working, and I was like, oh crap, I've got to listen to Jack's podcast because otherwise I'm going to be going in dumb here. And I started listening to it, and I was kind of, you know, well, yeah. And I started listening, and it was just one of those moments where you kind of like have to pause it and replay it, and you go, you what? Hang on. Did you just have like a little chat about that? Because I've not heard that before.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
So how long did it take you, Freddie, until you realised that they might be telling some porkies in this particular episode?
Not long, I would say. I mean, I kind of like, you know, I know the kind of comedy of Bob Mortimer well enough to know that it's not gonna be true to life for very long. But I like the fact that there's a kind of a vague grounding in reality, in that, like, you know how when you like watch a lot of American shows, actually I think you know, British shows probably do it too, but they probably do it more subtly, but especially American shows, because I don't know, people get sued or whatever, there's that big disclaimer at the beginning about how the events and the people in that show are fictitious. This is almost like the antithesis to it, where the only thing that's true is the names.
Yeah, that is the case. I mean, what I really like about it is, I mean, I listened to it with my girlfriend Lizzie in the car, and there's a point at which a sponsor comes up halfway through, and she just turns to me and was like, is that a real sponsor, though? I don't know. But it is. I mean, they do actually have a sponsor, but they transit into a sponsorship bit. And she was like, I don't know if they're joking. And that's the thing. It's, I mean, it must be hard as a sponsor to know that you're being taken seriously.
Well, I had to, like, immediately Google bet on Brazil, because I was like, is this a real betting company? Is this like, am I betting on their economy? Like, what am I betting on here? Like, and it is, but you always don't know. And yeah, I guess as a sponsor, I can't tell whether that's doing you a disservice or it's doing you a great service.
Yeah,
well, it's because there are shows that do have fake ads built into them.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be part of the mythos, and that ends up layering on top of the comedy, because it'll be about companies or it'll be based in the world that is clearly unbelievable. So yeah, it depends how they're reading the ads effectively and what they're saying as to whether or not it probably sounds real or not.
exactly. And if you'd like to sponsor Episode Party, you can... let's not go in there. Let's just not do that for now. Episode 1, and I'm already trying to get some money out of it. I enjoyed it, Jack. I think maybe the workplace isn't the best place to start listening to it, just because it's a little bit too unusual for a workplace setting. Told you I'm a really boring person, but I liked it. I feel like it might occupy the same kind of space for me. Like, this is a really interesting point. Well, I think it's interesting, you might tell me different, but like, I feel like certain podcasts lend themselves to certain listening environments really well. Like, you mentioned listening to it in the car with Lizzie, and it definitely feels like I'm driving somewhere, and I need to, like, you know, something to take me off the kind of underlying road range. So it feels like a car kind of podcast, like in the way that my dad wrote a porno was quite often my podcast of choice when I knew I had like a 1 or 2 hour drive ahead of me.
Yeah.
Because it made the whole thing a lot more bearable. But also it just was an environment. Okay, not to say that a road environment where you're controlling a vehicle is a good place to go a bit off the wall, but in terms of just like having something that isn't too serious,
yeah,
I think it's a good place, right?
Well, I'll tell you, so what I do is I have quite clear demarcations for my podcast listening, in that I have my commute, which is about an hour and a half, and in the morning I'll listen to my serious stuff where I get clued up, my brain is primed to actually absorb some information, and then the evening, sure, when, you know, my mind and body are like putty and I'm pretty useless, I'm good, you know, I can drive on a straight road, but I just won't be able to take in like The Inquiry. Like, The Inquiry is definitely a morning podcast. I will then switch up my listening, and in fact, you know, Nick's selection, 8-4 Play, that was a really good evening one, because that, you know, it felt like a bunch of people who'd clocked off and were, you know, chilling out and having some beers. And at the same, you know, in the same way, Athletico Mints is a podcast where I'm not trying to take in facts. Actually, I'd rather take in complete and utter nonsense instead. And that, you know, makes more sense to me. That's when I want to hear Bob Mortimer's brass hand based observational comedy. I don't want to hear about, you know, an interview by Ezra Klein or something ridiculous like that. One thing, sure, actually I will mention about Athletico Mints is that the audio quality is often really terrible, and the voices are like, one voice will be incredibly loud and it sounds like he's almost eating the microphone, and the other person will be really quiet, and that just makes me laugh even more.
Do you think that's intentional?
No, I just think they're hopeless. I just think they probably get really drunk to the point where wires and cables and mic volumes are just no longer a concern.
If I have to keep doing these in the office at work... Oh, by the way, I'm really sorry if you can hear in the background. So my building is the opposite side of a very small road to a gym. And about 5:30 every day, a like spinning session kicks in, and you know there are all these people on bikes being like paying to be shouted at. So that's what's happening behind me right now. There is some woman hollering at some poor people on bikes. So if you can hear that, I'm sorry. But what I was going to say was,
Freddie, get back on your bike.
exactly. But I really need to buy some beer in for sitting here and doing this podcast, I think. Not to say that we should get blind drunk and discuss podcasts, but, you know, just because it's a nice way to do things.
Well, I don't know. Well, I'll tell you a thing. So I've started having a beer. So I do radio interviews and stuff. And I get really nervous when I talk on microphones. I've started having a beer beforehand, and it seems to go a lot smoother until I listen back. And the last interview that I did, I started by saying, "Oh, hello here," which, you know, isn't a phrase. and I only realized when I listened back, you know, that I'd said it and I'd pronounced the name of the radio station wrong. I mean, so my word of advice is half measures.
Right, sure. I mean, I would probably kind of crack open the beer just before we hit record and then have it as we go along, not because it would help me to calm my nerves, just because it's kind of like a nice thing to do. I don't know.
Yeah.
It goes back to what we were saying earlier about what you were saying about 8-4 Play, which is that I was listening to it the other night. I just got in from work and I was cooking a curry and I'd opened a beer while I was cooking and I was listening to 8-4 Play, and it felt like the right mixture of kind of a podcast that wasn't too serious. It was nice and conversational. It felt like I could have been sitting in the room with them, eating curry, having a beer. Which felt like the right thing. Nick, how do you take your podcasts?
Kind of any which way, to be honest. Like, I'm obsessed to the point where I just listen to them at any point. If I can be in my, room, I can be working. So if I'm actually not actively writing, I can have one in the background whilst I'm doing other things, admin. I'll have it when I'm cooking, as you say, lunch, dinner, breakfast, all that sort of stuff. I do it whilst I'm commuting as well. Anytime I basically leave the house and I'm on my own, I have headphones in. And if I'm not in the mood for music, it's kind of podcasts. Mm-hmm. It's just become the thing that... I think it's probably because I have, you know, some mild form of ADHD at this point, whereby I have to be doing something and consuming something, that it just becomes that sort of glue in between every other thing that I do in my day, which is probably really bad for my mental health, but it's just become a part of my lifestyle.
I don't know. I find that as a thing really comforting. Like, one of the things I really love about podcasts is that if I come home to like an empty flat, my flatmate's out or whatever, having a podcast on is kind of like having a house full of people, except that you don't have to feed them or entertain them, which is kind of a nice thing, I think. And it's the same with driving, you know, like, Jack, I'm sure you kind of, I don't know, maybe you'll agree with this, is like when you're doing your commute, like, you don't really want to be sitting there having a chat with someone else, really, because you're on your way to work and it's early and you're tired. But it's kind of nice having someone else's voice in the car with you.
Yeah, totally. I find it, it's almost like a, you know, between sleep and being in the office and talking to people, it's a nice midway where I'm being talked at and being, you know, primed for the day and woken up. I'm not ready to engage with other people, but I'm ready to be engaged with. And it's just a nice halfway point.
sure. And that, my friends, is the beauty of podcasts. I think on that note, we should call it an evening.
Yeah, it's got to be on that note. That was lovely.
I tried my best. Thanks very much.
Perfect segue, Freddie. Perfect segue.
I try. Nick, for the people that eventually listen to this when we do put it out, where can people find you on the internet if they want to hear more of your thoughts on everything?
I write for a technology website called Engadget. So if you go over to Engadget, spelled engadget.com, you'll probably find my articles on there. I'm also on Twitter at NISummers, SUMMERS.
Sweet. Thanks very much. Jack, you don't know this, but we are at @episode_party on Twitter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Love it.
And obviously at episode.party as well. Thanks very much for listening to this very first episode of Episode Party, a podcast about podcasts. I've been Freddie Harrison.
I've been Jack Chuser.
And I've been Nick Summers.
You can cut my "and" out, Jack, there. That'd be perfect. And we'll see you next time.